And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then here in the quietness of our hearts. Amen. Today, as I shared at the Children's Moments, we are concluding our summer series on prayer. Now, it is true, friends, this is not the last time we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to keep on talking about prayer, and there will be more sermons and more reflections, I'm sure, coming on this topic, because it is something that we can never tire of learning about and learning from. And I've really enjoyed this time that we have had over the past 9 weeks, because what we have pretty much done together is open God's word and been led by his Spirit in ways that we pray and how we can approach the holy friendship that is called prayer. And I hope that if you will go back, if you did not hear some of the previous reflections, and you'll listen to them, not because it was something that I said, but because each week we were given some different tools for our tool belt of what we take to our prayer closet. And we were given ways of being still, of learning how to wait, of taking the scriptures and turning them into prayers. And my hope and my prayer for each of you was that each of those passages, each of those reflections would be something that you could go back to when you're struggling to know how to pray or what to say, that those would be resources that you could not only use but apply to other parts of Scripture as well. And as we think about patterns of prayer, because that's really what we've been getting into this whole summer, or how can we get into good rhythms and patterns of prayer, certain frameworks that we follow and rhythms that we build, there is no better place for us to conclude today than in the book of Psalms. The Psalms are, first and foremost, conversation with God. They are prayers to God. Secondly, they are poems. Poetry and songs are like the waves of the sea. There are rises, there are falls. There is movement, and there is rhythm. So let's all just imagine for a moment that we're at the beach together, and we're watching that ocean come in and go back out. We're watching the waves rise and the waves fall. Many of us, maybe not most of us, some of you may prefer going to the mountains on vacation, but many of us, there's something about the sound of water, the sight of water, the movement of water that just calms us down. And that is what prayer is, too, friends. Rising and falling, ups and downs, high points and valleys. And the Psalms with their rhythm, the Psalms with their poetry, the Psalms with their communication with God allow us to move into a rhythm of words that we did not know that we have. Because you see, we experience those same rises and falls. We experience those high points and those low points. We draw close to God like the waves come into the seashore, and then sometimes we feel like we're drawing away from God when really, we are near God the whole time, for he never leaves us or forsakes us. And you know what? Wherever you are today, a high, a low, near the shore, or pulling back away, or somewhere in between, it's okay. It's natural. It is natural for our prayers to go from praising to pleading to processing and all the way around again. One pattern we find so often in the Psalms is that there is always praise, though. Always praise, even in the darkest of nights. And sometimes the psalmist really doesn't feel like praising God. The psalmist really just wants to stay in that place of pleading and in that place of processing. But it is, friends, it is when we don't feel like praising God that we most need to get on our knees or up on our feet with our hands lifted, with our hearts open, and praise him in the midst of the struggle. And I want to encourage you, if you are in that place today, if you are struggling to move into praise and you just don't know how to do so, you're just in a place where you feel stuck, find someone that you who's a trusted spiritual friend to you and ask them to praise with you and for you. Just a little behind the scenes work of a pastor here. I know everybody in their job or in their occupation, we all have work that we do that nobody ever sees. And a lot of times that work we do that nobody ever sees, kind of behind the scenes, is where most of the work comes from, where most of our energy goes. And I want to give you a little behind the scenes look into where a lot of my energy goes as your pastor, just to be completely vulnerable and honest with you. And the truth is, I spend a lot of time simply praising God with you and for you, offering praises when I am, even if I am feeling low, or when I know you are feeling low, offering praise to God. And the reason for that is I usually hear something when something has gone wrong. I'm usually hearing when there is a loss, when there's grief, when there's complaint, where there's discontent. And when every time that comes in, every time those come in, the Lord reminds me, keep on praising me. Keep on praising me. This person's going through a storm. Praise me through that storm with them. That is so much of what goes on behind the scenes, and I'm honored to do that. I will continue to do that as I've been doing for 15 years now as a pastor. But here's the thing, friends, I can't do that alone. None of us in the body of Christ were meant to carry all the burden of praising ourselves. The praising is meant for every single one of us. All of us are called to praise God and to help one another praise God. Because like I said, I know you may be in a place today where you're struggling with that and you may need some help with it. And that's what we are in together. Friends, we hear that phrase a lot, that we're in this together. We are united together. But if we're not united in prayer, if we're not united in praise together, then we all might as well go home. Because in praise is where we find and we access the power of God Almighty. Praise should always be in our patterns of prayer, even if all we can do is sing, God, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good to me. Just start the day there. Or maybe all you can do at the end of the day is just say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No matter what happens in the night, no matter what happened today, praise the Lord. There's even a contemporary song called Hallelujah Anyway. And that is an excellent prayer as well, because something happens when we start praising, when we take that first step. We can't help but keep praising once we start, because once we start looking at who He is and not what we need, we realize that He is all we need. Psalm 107 is a perfect example of how Jesus, the God incarnate, is indeed everything that we need. And I invite you to look with me today at the psalm that was written for a community to sing together. This is a psalm not meant to be a duet. It's not meant to be a trio. It's not meant to be a quartet. It is for every voice, much like our opening hymn, O Worship the King, is. And it's meant to be sung with as many voices as possible. Look again at verse 1 and then at verse 43. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And verse 43 ends, consider the steadfast love of the Lord. He is good. His love never quits. That's where we start. And at the very end of it, in verse 43, we return to that steadfast love. One of the best new patterns of prayer for all of us especially when we want to just come and say, God, help me. God, take care of this. God, do this. God, do that for me. No, no, no. Let's pause for a moment and say, first of all, God, you are good. God, you are great. God, you are worthy of the praise. I need for you to do this for me. I am desperate. I'm in need of this. Lord, meet me in this place of need. I know that your love endures forever. Do you see how the pattern changes? Do you feel the wave go from down low to up high again? Do you feel the tide rolling in? Because that is what happens when we praise. It doesn't have to be much, but it signals a continual return to how good God is, even if life doesn't feel good. And what happens in between the praises are those ocean rises and falls. The psalmist does not deny those. Look at verse 2 and 3, where we recount what God has already done. More praise, more thanksgiving, more remembrance of what is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. All of creation is coming together to give Him praise. We are magnifying the one who is worthy. But then there's a slight change in verse 4. Remembering not the good of the Lord, but the struggles of the human being. Look at verse 4 and 5. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. It's okay to remember from the past and acknowledge in the present that we struggle with wandering, right? The old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, has that famous line that many of us know by heart, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And what we see happen here is a movement in this prayer from praise to processing. Processing, Lord, we've struggled with this. And you may be here today in the middle of the processing. Let me just give some examples, and my guess is at least one of these will resonate with one of you today of what processing in a prayer looks like. Lord, I'm famished. Lord, I'm stressed. Lord, I'm worn out. Lord, I'm grieving. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by life circumstances. Lord, I don't feel well. Lord, there's a void in my life from something or someone that I've lost. My soul is fainting within me. Friends, I name all of those. I encourage you to name those because God wants to hear your processing. He wants to hear your process. And the Psalms remind us that we are not alone in what we're feeling. Look at what our ancestors went through. They took it to the Lord in prayer, and we have to do the same. Sometimes, depending on our circumstances, we need another person to share those feelings with, to process with, a counselor, a therapist, a trusted friend. But the psalmist reminds us that even though we are talking to people, let us not neglect processing with God in prayer. Let us not neglect going to Him and letting Him know what we're going through. The psalmist reminds us that God wants us to hear the process too. Don't get so busy talking to people that you neglect to talk to God about the thing He wants to hear about from you anyway, because He wants to hear it from your heart to His heart. He wants for our hearts to speak to His heart what it is that we are struggling with. So often we start with telling God about what we're going through in the present or what we have been through in our lives, and then we begin to remember how far He brought those who went ahead of us and how far He has brought us as well, because He, the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who broke the prison bars open for Paul and Silas, the same God who rolled away the stone is the God who is moving in your life today. And friends, that power is available to us if we will humble ourselves, if we will get on our knees before Him, if we'll leave the complaining behind, if we'll put behind us those things that are not serving us, and we will say, God, we need You, for You are the one worthy of the praise. No matter what we are going through, You are the one who satisfies. You are the one who delivers. We need Your power today. And indeed we do. And the psalmist reminds us here, as we process with God and we share with Him, that He is the same God who in verse 6, we hear how He responded years ago and how He responds to us. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. Verse 7, He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. A straight way, the way. We've heard Jesus talk about this before. In John 14, right before Jesus goes to the cross, He shares a meal with His disciples, and He gives a long talk in John's gospel about what is going to happen. And He tells them in the course of that conversation that He is leaving them and that they cannot go where He is going. Let's stop there for a minute and consider what it must have been like for the disciples. I mean, they're sitting at this table with the man that they left everything for. They left their jobs, they left their families, they left their crossword puzzles or whatever it was that they were working on at that moment. They left everything behind to follow after Him. They left it all, and now He's saying to them, yeah, I'm going away and you can't come with me. Imagine the questions that were asked. Imagine the emotions that were expressed. Imagine the tension that must have pulled up a chair at that table and the stress that must have been present. And yet all of those years later, when John, who was present at that table, was writing the story of Jesus, out of all the things he could have recounted, all of the questions that were asked, he only included two. And one of them came from the disciple named Thomas. And Thomas said, Master, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way there? And it was Thomas's question that led to that famous answer that many of us know by heart. You can say it with me. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth, and I am the life. But do you notice the order there? Have you ever thought about the order that Jesus answers in? He doesn't begin with truth. He doesn't begin with life. He begins with, I am the way. And when we follow him as the way, we discover truth and we discover life. In verse 7 of Psalm 107, we hear that the Lord has led his people by a certain way to an inhabited town. Well, friends, let's interpret that for today. Jesus is the way that leads us to the town brimming with life and with truth if we will follow him. And that means taking up our cross. It means laying everything down. It means leaving everything behind and saying, Lord, I put you first above each and everything else. You are all that matters. But do you see here in the scripture, friends, the power that we access when we pray as the scripture teaches us to pray? That's all we have done here this morning. We have opened God's word. We have seen a prayer. We have seen Jesus fulfill that prayer, and he is giving it to us saying, pray for me to be your way. Pray for me to lead you to truth and life, because that's what I am here to do. When we pray the scripture, we find Jesus everywhere, not just in the scripture, but in the person sitting next to you, in the world that you encounter as you walk out these doors. Yes, there will be pleading. Yes, there will be processing along the way, but all roads in Jesus, who is the way, lead to praise. Look at what happens at that inhabited town where truth and life live in verses 8 and 9. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Beloved, hear this today. We are loved, we are filled, and all good things abound to us, not because we deserve them, quite the opposite. We don't. Not because we've earned them, because we haven't. But because God, in his mercy, sent his only begotten Son so that we could find the way to truth and to life. He longs for our friendship. He is desperate for our companionship. And why are we too busy to take the time simply to be with him? Because this is what it means. We have to listen to him as much as he has to listen to us. And we have to take the time to remember that first and foremost, no matter what is happening in this world, that he is good. If you don't believe me, go read the other 40 verses. Did I mention there were 40 verses in today's passage? Let's just have a moment of praise that the preacher is not preaching on the other 40 verses today. But I do want to conclude with this story as we prepare to sing and to go forth in a spirit of praise today. Brooke Ligertwood is a wonderful Australian worship leader, singer, songwriter, and she recently recorded a live album, a live worship album, titled Seven. And the whole album was inspired by the book of Revelation. She had been studying the book of Revelation, meditating on it, and she felt the Lord give it and heard the Lord giving her songs based on the book of Revelation. And the number seven appears a lot in the Bible, and especially in Revelation. And she just knew that this was the number that was going to carry through. And before she knew it, one song was written. Two songs were written. She met with some other songwriters. Three songs were written. The Holy Spirit was just pouring out this music and bringing it forth from God's word in the Revelation. And she got to six songs, and she got stuck. And there was a stopping moment. There was a pause. And she thought, okay, this number seven keeps coming up. There's got to be a seventh song. And during a conference, she shared the story on Instagram a couple of months ago. She was at a conference, and she and her husband and another singer-songwriter and worship leader were backstage, and they were talking about this album that was coming together, the songs that were coming together, but they only had six songs. Where was the seventh? Was there going to be a seventh? They believed God would give them a seventh song, but where was it? And she said it just back in that behind-the-scenes place, in a place where very few people knew what was going on, as they were talking and as they were praying, that a song began to come up among them. With 1,000 hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. 1,000 hallelujahs and 1,000 more. The seventh song, the closing bookend to the revelation put to song, was a song of praise. Friends, so may it be with our lives. Let's not end today. Let's not end the hour. Let's not end any time overcome by complaint, disgruntledness, or unhappiness. Let us lift our thousand hallelujahs to the one who was, who is, and who is to come, our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.